afternoon. Thanks a lot for being here. I really appreciate it. And I'm very, very excited to present to you. It's a musical background. I don't know if you can catch that, but that's kind of fun, good effect there. So I'm going to be presenting on chlamydia trachomatis infection in women who have sex with women attending family planning clinics in the Pacific Northwest. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, my research mentor, Jeannie Marazzo, and David Fine, who's also in the audience, for their incredible help in pulling this together. So as background, chlamydia trachomatis remains the most commonly reported notifiable infection in the United States. And in 2006 alone, there were over 1,030,000 reported cases of chlamydia reported by the CDC. As background to the geographic area of interest, just going back to 1988, there was widespread screening and treatment for chlamydia that began actually in Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, also known as Region 10. The target for the work was sexually active women under the age of 25 at 150 family planning clinics, or roughly 50,000 visits per year. This was implemented as the first chlamydia prevalence monitoring surveillance system using standardized testing and data collection. And it was actually this project in Region 10 that served as the basis for the infertility prevention program. And it was a few years later that the CDC and the Office of Population Affairs took this on and took it across the country. Background to the particular patient population that we're interested in. According to the 2002 National Survey of Family Growth, 11% of women between the ages of 15 and 44 reported a history of same-sex sexual behavior in their lifetime. This may be a slightly conservative estimate. I've seen other studies that look at, you know, more up to 20% of women. This translates to about 2.29 million U.S. women who self-identify as either homosexual or bisexual between the ages of 18 and 44. And what we do know based on studies that we already have done is that HPV, HSV, syphilis, HIV, trichomoniasis is known to be transmitted among women who have sex with women. And as we just also heard, BV is highly prevalent, if not more prevalent, among women who have sex with women. Further background, what we don't know, however, is that there isn't that much data. So there's few broad-based data that encompass clinic, community, population level that describe STD prevalence that includes chlamydia among women who have sex with women in the United States. We do know that there is a little data to really explore sexual behaviors and sexual risk behaviors. And so we do know some clinic and community-based studies that suggest increased HIV-related risk among bisexual women, for example, and that HIV-related risk behaviors do exist among lesbians. So our objective is to describe the prevalence of and risks associated with chlamydial infection among women who have sex with women and women who have sex with both men and women attending family planning clinics in Region 10 from 1997 and 2005. So our methods, our inclusion criteria was female sex, age 15 to 24, reporting same-sex behavior on a standard data form. And this form basically asked sex category. So if you've had sex with men, women, or both. And that was actually in the past 60 days. It's not lifetime ever. So if there was some kind of adolescent same-sex activity and never thereafter, that was not captured. Individual level measures included demographics, which included age, race, ethnicity, and then self-reported sexual risk behavior, and that really targets multiple sex partners, symptomatic sex partners, and that kind of thing in the past 60 days. Chlamydia exposure or infection in the past year, clinical signs of cervical ectopy, mucopurulent and discharge, signs of PID, and then chlamydia test result and type. Our sample size included about 604,000 test records that were considered. Women who reported sex with men represented the bulk of these tests, about 595,000, but we did find 99,300 tests associated with report of sex with women, and that was broken down approximately to 61% of women who had sex with women and 39 representing women who had sex with men and women, or 5,700 and 3,600 respectively. This is the first of our results, and so this is just chlamydia positivity, essentially. And looking at the graphs, and they will always be in this order, but women who have sex with men as the first, and women who have sex with women, and women who have sex with men and women. And what we found, and this was the striking result, is that the women who have sex with women and women who have sex with men and women, the chlamydia positivity came to 7.1% versus 5.3% among women who have sex with men. Chlamydia trends over time in what we were looking at between 97 and 2005 roughly follow the trends that we have for region 10 and among women in general, and that is that they all tend to go up from 97 onwards. The bottom line representing women who have sex with men sort of shows this gradual incline, and there is also an incline between 2005 and onwards. The same-sex reporting categories are a bit more staccato. You can see some more dips and rises, some that are a bit more abrupt. But in general, there is a rise. And then there's something slightly unusual that I can't explain that happened in 2004, where there was some divergence, and women who have sex with women went up, while the other two categories went down a bit. And just to orient you again, so this is the y-axis, which represents chlamydia positivity. The x-axis is the first of our demographic categories, and this is age. The first, the lighter colored bar representing women who have sex with men, the purple bar, women who have sex with women, and then the green representing women who have sex with men and women. Here you see really a bit of what we expect, and we do know this in Region 10 and probably nationally, that younger age seems to predispose to higher chlamydia positivity. And in general, that's what we're seeing, but we're seeing higher levels of positivity among the sexual minority categories, as you can tell, and upwards of 7.5% among the women who have sex with women, and a bit more than 8% in both the younger age categories. And also unsurprising, in the category 20 to 24, the positivity levels are a bit lower. As far as by race and ethnicity, one of our other demographic categories, this again is not terribly surprising and represents general Region 10 data, with the non-Hispanic Black category showing quite enhanced, robust chlamydia positivity in all three groups, and especially compared to the non-Hispanic white category. What we do see in the Alaskan Native and American Indian category is something that perhaps is a bit more specific to Region 10, and that's because we have Alaska as part of it. And so we have a pretty robust rise among women who have sex with women. That was not actually terribly significant when you looked at the numbers. These are small numbers of women who are representing that particular category, so I wouldn't make too much of that. But in general, following the trends, higher rates among non-Hispanic Blacks and also versus non-Hispanic whites, and also in the Alaska Native and American Indian category. Looking at behavioral risks, the most remarkable thing here is exposure to chlamydia. And that is across the board, and certainly more dramatic again in the sexual minority categories, both in women who have sex with women and women who have sex with men and women. Other things that tended to be somewhat robust, that category alone was over 25% positivity in all three categories. And then clinical signs and symptoms also showed some robustness, with close to 15% in all three categories. One of the other dramatic behavioral risk factors is having a symptomatic sex partner. And this we do see among all three categories, and there wasn't terribly much significant difference between the women who have sex with women and the other two categories, and they were roughly the same. Looking at sort of multivariate odds ratios among our groups, in general, this is a bit of a summary. Age less than 20 seem to be fairly across the board. Odds ratios greater than 1, less than 2. Non-white race greater than 1, less than 2. New sex partner, also pretty strong numbers. Symptomatic sex partner, as I was demonstrating, just on positivity levels, you can see are fairly impressive in all three categories. And then exposure to chlamydia in the past year was also a strong measure. So limitations to our study. IPP's measures were not designed to capture additional variables regarding specific sexual behaviors, practices, and more importantly, sexual networks, which is probably where a lot of this is coming from. It was designed to collect data on a limited number of variables to fit easily within program and service processes. And this presentation and analysis also did not incorporate very relevant area-based socioeconomic measures. In summary, chlamydia positivity was higher among women who report same-sex behavior. Significant risk factors include younger age, non-white race and ethnicity, new sex partner, symptomatic sex partner, exposure to chlamydia in the past year. And in general, risk for chlamydia among women who have sex with women and women who have sex with men and women did not differ from those traditionally identified among women who have sex with men. So implications, reason for higher chlamydia positivity among same-sex reporting females is unclear. So is there testing bias? You know, are women who have sex with women or women who have sex with men and women more likely for some reason to be tested? Are there associated sexual behaviors that we're simply not capturing on these data forms? Is there a selection of sex partners that tend to be at higher risk for chlamydia? Is there other sort of risk behaviors, including drug use, unprotected sex, sex with men who have sex with men, engaging in sex work. Report of same-sex behavior in women attending IPP clinics should not deter providers from performing chlamydia screening. And further research is needed to identify what specific risks predispose to acquisition and transmission of chlamydia in this group and to characterize sexual networks of sexual minority women. So that's it. I wanted to acknowledge again Jeannie and David for helping pull this together.
Okay, again, you'll have some time for a couple of questions or points of clarification.
Right. It's interesting. One of the things that I was actually finding just looking at the data is that, first of all, they were far more likely to attend family planning clinics than STD clinics. And you'll notice that this is all family planning. So there was that bit that I was interested in. I can't speak to too much of why they were there, and I wasn't able to really capture that from the data, but it's a good question, and you know, whether they're seeking primary care there versus primary care somewhere else, or just going there with a symptomatic concern at the time. Oh, sorry.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
I'm from Alaska, and in our data, we don't really have any STD clinics per se, and even though we have family planning clinics, they're really integrated.
Mm-hmm.
That may, in fact, come back to some biases in the populations
right.
In the services as well. I think I have a couple more comments.
That's a great question. Right. So the question was related to higher chlamydia positivity among women who reported a symptomatic partner. And the really interesting thing about that question, and it's a great one, is that when you look at the data collection form and what defines symptomatic partner, It doesn't give the sex or gender of the partner, but it says sexual intercourse. Or yeah, it's symptoms related to sexual intercourse and sores and discharge on the sexual partner. So I don't know exactly what to say in regards to that, and you know how much error there could be there. But it really sort of it seems like they're asking about a male partner without asking about a male partner, and they really signify to symptoms that would be related to, you know, perhaps more related to sexual intercourse, vaginal, penile sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm. I think there was one question on this one.
The question is, how did we get the data about symptoms? And that's actually, I mean, it's part of the standard collection. It's just part of the data form. It really didn't go into any detail about, tell me about your partner's specific symptoms. It wasn't actually asking about any kind of sexual behaviors related to that sexual activity. So all you would have to check is, yes, I'm involved with a partner, you know, for the past 60 days, and that my sex partner has discharge or genital sores. It's on there when you say sex with. Okay, yeah, so there is a question at the beginning that says, I have sex with men, women, or both. And then later on it asks specific questions about your sex partner, assuming that it may be the same one, not really being clear whether it's the same one or not. Right.
Thank you very much.